Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You've seen my work in The Athletic and McKean's Hockey. I was at TSN for years. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has an amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. So we continue with our off-season reports, and we're working our way backwards alphabetically, and that puts us to the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers team whose season kind of went off the rails last year, and I guess they're still going to be in a battle to kind of get back on track, playing in a tough division. It's not going to be easy to get back in the playoffs, but the Flyers also have some talent, so they at least have a fighting chance. So let's start things off looking at their forwards. And the first line, on left wing, we've got Claude Giroux. Since 2010 through 2011, Claude Giroux ranks fourth in the NHL in scoring, behind Patrick Kane, Sidney Crosby, and Alex Ovechkin. So he's hanging in pretty good company there. Now, he's 33 years old, and yet still drives play, puts up points, and he wins faceoffs. Giroux, his faceoff percentage in the past four seasons is 58.7%. That's really good. Go back to the 24/7 on HBO where it was Steve Ott who is making a big production about how he was going to beat Giroux in a faceoff, and talking trash to him leading up to it, and then Giroux just went in and won the draw. But it turns out that Giroux does that pretty regularly. So yes, he takes a lot of faceoffs, but it does make a lot more sense for Giroux to play on the wing most of the time. At center, we've got Sean Couturier, who is an elite two-way performer. He won his first Selke Trophy in 2019-2020, but for most of his career, the Flyers have been controlling play with Couturier on the ice. And so Couturier is really underrated, as you know, most defensive players are, and that includes by the Locked On hosts. The network did their top 50 players, and they did not include Sean Couturier in their top 50, an egregious oversight in my books. And I will do a countdown of my own of top players before the season, and believe me, Sean Couturier will well be in the top 50. Then on the right side of the top line, we got Travis Konecny, who looked like a rising star, but then kind of hit a speed bump last season. Finished with 34 points in 50 games, which isn't disastrous, but it's not to the level that he had the season before. And you know, when you're a young forward and you kind of expect these things to just kind of continue to grow, well, that didn't quite happen for Konecny last season. And frankly, he might have been a good buy low candidate for teams that were considering making a deal with the Flyers in the offseason. But now I think Philadelphia, by keeping Konecny, they're sort of set to reap the rewards from a bounce back season. To the second line, where we start with Joel Farabee on the left side. And Farabee had an offensive explosion last year, his second season in the NHL, scored 20 goals in 55 games. And given his track record, I don't think there was this big expectation for Joel Farabee to be a big scorer. It's not as though he scored a ton in college, but he scored on 16.4% of his shots last year, and that's probably unsustainable at that level. So I'd sort of beware of placing super high expectations on Farabee coming into this season, but I think he at least established that he can provide complementary scoring. I don't want to kind of pin your hopes on Joel Farabee scoring you 30 goals a season in the National Hockey League, but if he provides kind of secondary scoring, I think that that would be just fine too. At center, we got Kevin Hayes, who's huge, 6'6" center, provides secondary scoring and usually keeps play moving the right way. Maybe not quite as effective in that aspect in his couple of seasons with the Flyers, but still, overall, I think there's lots to like about having Kevin Hayes on the second line. And then Cam Atkinson, who was acquired in trade for Jakub Voracek. Atkinson is a speedy winger, can kill penalties, and he can finish. He scored more than 20 goals six times in his career, including 41 in 2018-2019. Now, I wouldn't expect Cam Atkinson to be pushing for 41 goals again, But if you can get 20 or 25, that's certainly worthwhile. Kind of point of note, I guess, is that Atkinson crossed paths with Kevin Hayes at Boston College, where Atkinson was the team's leading scorer during Hayes' freshman season. Take us to the third line, where we start on left wing with James Van Riemsdyk. who has great hands around the net. He always has. And is a six-time 20-goal scorer. And on top of just, you know, being able to put the puck in the net, Van Riemsdyk tends to have positive impacts in terms of shot differentials and scoring chances, etc. And that's, I guess, in some ways runs counter to what his reputation is that James Van Riemsdyk isn't considered to be this great all-around player, that he's a guy who, you know, from the face-off dots down is really exceptional, and the rest of his game doesn't have a huge impact, but on the overall, it's almost always a net positive impact with Van Riemsdyk on the ice. So to have him presumably skating on the third line for the Flyers, maybe he plays up on the second line, but playing in a middle six role, Van Riemsdyk certainly gives value. At center, we got Scott Laughton, a physical center who hits, will score a little bit, and kind of plays the Philadelphia Flyers style. So it was a natural for the Flyers to re-sign him. You know, he had a contract that was going to be expiring at the end of last season, and I'm sure he could have gone to free agency and made out all right, because lots of teams would like a third line center like Scott Laughton. But I think it made a lot of sense for Laughton to stay in Philadelphia. He's sort of the prototype of what the Philadelphia Flyers like. And then we run into some questions, I guess, about who's going to be right wing on that third line. For now, I'm going to pencil in Nicholas Obey-Kubel, who's an energy winger who's been good in a fourth line role for the past couple of seasons. I do think it's fair to be uncertain about whether he can play regularly in the top nine, but there are other wingers who will compete for those spots as well. So to the fourth line, we've got Oscar Lindblom. Now, Lindblom might be a guy who plays up in the top nine. He returned to action last season. He had had Ewing sarcoma the year before, and that you know, that shocking diagnosis put him on the sidelines. But now Lindblom's cancer free, which is awesome. But he can kind of get back to kind of getting his game back to where he was before his diagnosis, because, you know, last season wasn't terribly productive, but in 2019-2020 he had 11 goals in 30 games. You know, Lindblom was just kind of starting to hit his groove as a winger in the National Hockey League. So while I'm sitting here with Oscar Lindblom on the fourth line now for the Flyers, he could very easily climb the depth chart if he kind of gets back to being the player that he was. At center, we've got Nate Thompson, who is a character veteran guy. At this stage of his career, his on-ice contributions are pretty limited, and so he's also quite replaceable. That if Nate Thompson ends up having to be the 13th forward or something, that would be entirely manageable. If some of the younger players manage to push their way in, then that's a possibility. Now to the right wing on the fourth line, and this is somebody who probably competes for a spot on the third line too, is Wade Allison. He had a nice run late in the season with the Flyers last year. He had 4 goals, 3 assists in 14 games. His defensive results were solid. And so that probably gives Allison a leg up on being part of the regular lineup, but also hardly a guarantee. You know, you play 14 games down the stretch for a team whose season is kind of circling the drain. That doesn't make you a lock for a team to start the next season. And so who are the other forwards that'll be in the mix, I guess? Well, Derek Brassard has been recently signed, and Brassard, a veteran forward who's now been playing more on the wing than at center, but he has some versatility and it gives the Flyers some depth. And there are a few cases where I've gone through teams and you can see that, you know, maybe they need one more veteran forward in the mix, and the Flyers might have been in that group until they added Derek Brassard. Then we've got Morgan Frost, who is a, you know, quality prospect who was injured last season in the second game, and that you know, kind of derailed his progress, but if Frost is healthy, you kind of have to presume that he's in the mix for a roster spot. And then Connor Bunneman, who has basically played a fourth line checking role for the Flyers, and might have an opportunity to do that again. At the same time, if he ends up on the outside looking in at the top 12 forwards, that would come as no surprise either. So on the whole, I think the Flyers have enough talent up front. You know, could they use kind of a higher end game breaking talent? Maybe. But I think if you value Couturier's two-way game, he is a legitimate star forward. It's just he's a star forward in the mold of Patrice Bergeron, and you know, and maybe not in the star mold of David Pastrnak, if we're apparently comparing to Boston Bruins. But otherwise, if you go through, the Flyers have some pretty good depth, a decent mix of young and older players. And so I think they can be reasonably satisfied with what they have up front. The questions will come as we head to the defense and goaltending after this. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, it's $216. That is more money in your pocket. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. So to the defense of the Philadelphia Flyers, and we'll start with a mainstay here on the Philadelphia blue line, Ivan Provorov, who's a quality defenseman, doesn't put up huge point totals, and his offensive impact could get a boost from a new partner, but I think overall, maybe the idea of Provorov just being a quality top pair defenseman is fine, but maybe he's not going to produce enough offensively to really get kind of the full star treatment the way things tend to go when it comes to, you know, Norris Trophy voting, All-Star voting, that kind of thing. And so the prime addition on Philadelphia's blue line is Ryan Ellis, a veteran puck-moving defenseman. He's run into serious injuries in three of the past four seasons, so there's some risk there. But Ellis really grew into a prime role with Nashville. And a prime role, except for the fact that he wasn't the quarterback on the first power play unit. That's what happens when you have as much depth on the blue line as the Predators have had. And so there is a chance here for Ellis to maybe have a bigger power play role in Philadelphia, which could set him up for a more productive scoring season. Then second pair, we've got Travis Sanheim, big defenseman, skates well, can handle the puck, and consistently has strong shot metrics. But even so, Sanheim was outscored by 20 goals during 5-on-5 play last season. And really, over the past couple of years, Philadelphia goaltenders have not done Travis Sanheim any favors in terms of he's had a very low on-ice save percentage for 2 years running. And I don't think that we can pin all of that blame on Sanheim, or even a lot of that blame on Sanheim. So I think he's a perfectly fine second pair defenseman, and you know, when he's playing well, he's a positive impact on that second pair. Now to the right side on that pairing, we've got Rasmus Ristolainen, and he's a big right shot defenseman who can skate, and yet Ristolainen has had terrible possession results throughout his career. Was outscored by 128 goals during 5-on-5 play in 8 seasons with the Buffalo Sabres. Will playing with a more competitive team bring better results for Ristolainen? Well, the Flyers better hope so. If the player that he was in Buffalo, you know, kind of comes in and gets similar results in Philadelphia, well, that would be nearly disastrous. And so the Flyers need to hope that surrounding Ristolainen with better talent is going to, you know, maybe minimize some of his shortcomings and end up, you know, leading to better results. Because he being a high first round pick, certainly expectations were high for Ristolainen in Buffalo, and it clearly didn't work out. And yet he still had market value when Buffalo finally decided to move on. They got a pretty healthy return from Philadelphia in that trade. So here, Rasmus Ristolainen has a chance here. This is a make-good opportunity for him to come to Philadelphia. If he proves that he can be a legit top four defenseman and not a glaring liability, as he was at times in Buffalo, then that will count as a success. Now we've got another new defenseman on the Philadelphia blue line. So this would be the third new defenseman, and that's Keith Yandel, who is a puck-moving power play quarterback. Probably throughout his career, he's been a defensive liability, but it sort of stands out a little bit more at this stage. At the same time, he signed to a really bargain deal, having been bought out, and he was looking for a good fit, and the Flyers are probably are a good fit for Yandel. If he plays in a third pair role, gets power play time, that you play to his strengths. And I think that if you kind of manage the expectations along those lines, that Keith Yandel should be able to contribute to the Flyers. And now the potential partner for him on the third pair is Justin Braun, who's may be the opposite of Keith Yandel. Braun's a stay-at-home defenseman, has limited value with the puck on his stick. But if you kind of pair Yandel and Braun, you get you might get one complete defenseman between the two of them. Braun is also a guy that you're going to need to kill penalties and that sort of thing. And then kind of who's in the mix is largely prospects. You got Cam York, who is the top prospect, and he might push for a regular spot on the blue line. And failing that, Sam Morin might be kind of hanging around to get an extra spot. Now, Morin had been moved up to forward last season, and I don't know that... basically, I think that might be the sign that the Flyers have given up on Morin as a potential defenseman. But, you know, maybe he's in the mix somewhere as an extra on the Flyers when they decide they need another enormous player into their lineup. So certainly the Flyers have made a lot of changes on the blue line, and I really like the Ryan Ellis addition. But Ristolainen and Yandel, there's going to be some risk involved there, and maybe it'll pay off. I mean, it's not as though these guys are without skill, and it may just be a matter of kind of getting them in the right situation and playing to their strengths a little bit more. And if they can, then maybe the Flyers will get some better results from their blue line. And they need better results from the blue line because there's a little bit of pressure on their goaltending. Carter Hart, coming off a disastrous season. In his last 15 appearances, Hart had an .852 save percentage, finishing the year with an .877 save percentage. Like, that's just a mess for an NHL goaltender. And what do you do with that? Your team isn't going to be competitive when your goaltender is getting overrun in that manner. And yet, Hart's just 23 years old. So it's pretty reasonable to expect a goaltender who had been above average for a couple of seasons before that to get back on track and kind of turn things around this season. But he just has to be miles better than he was last season. If Carter Hart duplicates last season, then it's not going to matter what the Flyers do otherwise. And so if you can get Carter Hart back to being league average or even better than league average as he was before, then things look a whole lot nicer for Philadelphia, and that gives them a chance at the postseason. If Hart struggles again, has a save percentage under .900, then it could be another long year for the Flyers. And backing up Carter Hart is Martin Jones. Jones has an .896 save percentage in each of the past three seasons. And so that counts for 137 games over those 3 years, but he's been fairly consistently on that .896 in that time. Which doesn't make him a very reliable veteran backup that you might have thought they needed to play behind Carter Hart. But Jones playing in a backup role, that might be the most suitable role for him at this stage of his career. I mean, presuming that retirement isn't the other option, that if Jones comes in and plays 25 games, maybe he has a chance to deliver stronger results than what he has been doing in mostly a starter role in San Jose. And so this is the big risk here for Philadelphia. If Carter Hart and Martin Jones work as a goaltending tandem, and by work, it doesn't mean that Carter Hart has to be in the Vezina conversation. I mean, I had that that expectation going into last year that he might be, but now we'll kind of pump the brakes on that. And if Carter Hart and Martin Jones put the Flyers around league average in terms of goaltending, that would be great. And I think that they can be competitive with that. There is going to be risk that on one hand, maybe Carter Hart gets totally back on track and he is in the Vezina Trophy conversation. So there's the one upside. On the downside, Hart continues to struggle. Martin Jones continues to struggle. And it won't much matter what the rest of the Flyers are doing, because if their goaltending is as poor as Carter Hart and Martin Jones at their worst, it will be a real mess of a season. There we've covered defense and goaltending. When we come back, we'll look at special teams, prospects, and kind of decide what we think of the Flyers coming into this season. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of delicious flavors, and that includes coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Now, my favorite is the salted caramel, but really that's such a great variety. There's something for everyone in that mix of flavors. And if you haven't tried those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar. They'll give you two of each, sample them, decide which ones you like, and then order more of those. Because not only do you have this great mix of flavors, they're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste great and they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. It's amazing flavors and healthy. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so let's look at the special teams for the Philadelphia Flyers. Over the past three seasons, during 5-on-4 play, Flyers ranked 10th in shots per 60 with 53.3, 16th in goals per 60 is 6.66, 17th in expected goals per 60, 6.38. So overall, it's a fairly average power play, and certainly some team has to be average, middle of the pack, but you would look at that as a Flyer and think, well, you need to upgrade. Does Keith Yandle, Ryan Ellis, having them available to quarterback the power play, that should help. Can Cam Atkinson pull the trigger a little bit and make a difference on the power play? Well, perhaps. And you can hope that the Flyers can generate a little bit more during their 5-on-4 play. It's not as though they're terrible in that respect, but it can be better. As for penalty killing, during 4-on-5 play, in the past three seasons, Philadelphia ranks third in shot attempts per 60 against, that's 83.8, fifth in shots against per 60 at 46.5, now 11th in expected goals against per 60 at 6.06, and in actual goals against per 60 during 4-on-5 play, 30th, 7.90. And that really, if you're looking for an area to improve, the Flyers need better goaltending when they're shorthanded. Because if you look at the shots against and even the expected goals against is still better than average, although not as good as the shot volume coming against them. So if you have to look at the one glaring area on special teams, the Flyers need better goaltending during 4-on-5 play, and that isn't, you know, the most sustainable performance metric, I guess, for an NHL goaltender. But there's not much you can say when a team is allowing so few shots during 4-on-5 play and then so many goals. I mean, it's a pretty easy calculation. Not nearly enough stops for the Flyers during 4-on-5 play. And really, if Carter Hart bounces back and plays well next season, then I think you can expect that these results will get better. But that's going to be kind of something to watch for the Flyers, because their shot metrics during 4-on-5 play is pretty good. And the goals, not so good. So when you look at this team, what are the remaining needs? And I think basically you have to keep your fingers crossed on the goaltending. If you get the best of Carter Hart and Martin Jones, then I think things will be fine. If you get the worst of Carter Hart and Martin Jones, it will be a disaster. And really, if you're the Flyers, you're probably happy if it's somewhere in between. If you land kind of plop in the middle of expectations, you'd be okay with that. You can manage with a round league average goaltending. There is some risk here, and look, there's risk with every goaltender, but I think the Flyers are in a particularly risky position given the recent performances of Carter Hart and Martin Jones. Now, what other needs might they have? As I said, I think their forward group overall is pretty strong. Maybe you could use another elite talent up front, but that's... I think Sean Couturier is pretty close to an elite talent up front. It's just that he isn't regarded as such because one of his great strengths is his play without the puck, and that tends not to get the same kind of publicity. And so I guess the other concern will be is on defense for the Flyers. If Rasmus Ristolainen responds to a new location, then things are great. Or should be great, because I think the addition of Ryan Ellis gives them an upgrade. And if Ristolainen works in a top four role, then I think the Flyers should be competitive. So let's take a look at which prospects might have a shot to make a difference with the Flyers this year. And I guess the first one is defenseman Cam York. York had 20 points in 24 games for the University of Michigan last year, added 5 points in 8 games in the American Hockey League, got into 3 games at the end of the year with the Flyers. Now, York, could he force his way into a regular role in the blue line? I think that's entirely possible. It may not happen right off the start of the year. Maybe he starts the year in the American Hockey League where he can play a ton and then gets called up, or maybe he does force his way into a regular spot right out of camp, and then a veteran defenseman ends up in a seventh defenseman role. And so Cam York is likely to play in Philadelphia during this season. It's just a question, I guess, of how soon and how much. Then we've got right winger Wade Allison. As we mentioned, he got into 14 games at the end of the year with the Flyers, had 7 points. He also had 9 points in 10 games in the American Hockey League before getting called up. And the fact that Allison's defensive numbers look pretty good, I think that's pretty encouraging for him to have a spot right out of the gate this year. Now, no guarantee, but I think he has a bit of a leg up on the competition. Then there's center Morgan Frost. Only played 2 games for the Flyers last year, had a shoulder injury in that second game, and that kept him out for the rest of the season. But Frost he's kind of worked his way up as a prospect to the point that really deserved his shot last year, and then the fact that it kind of got ended after just 2 games doesn't feel like he got a real fair look, and so give Morgan Frost an opportunity that he makes the team this year, or maybe he does end up as an extra forward even to start, he should be in the mix to be considered. And then I guess the other prospects I think are longer shots. There's winger Isaac Ratcliffe, who had 8 points in 22 games in the American Hockey League. He's 6'6", so he does provide some of that size that the Flyers seem to like. Given the battles for the likes of Wade Allison and Morgan Frost to get into the lineup, I think Ratcliffe falls behind them in the pecking order. And then there's right winger Ty Forster. And now Forster is only 19 years old, junior eligible, and that's likely where he ends up. But he ended up in the American Hockey League last year because he couldn't go back to the Ontario Hockey League. And Forster scored 10 goals, had 17 points in 24 games in the American Hockey League. And, you know, all of a sudden, that kind of, I guess, raises expectations for what he could do as a pro. And so, as I say, I think Forster is probably most likely to end up in the American Hockey League. But if he went into camp this year and was just incredible, I suppose it's possible you know, he could force his way into the discussion. So that's why I'm including him here. I my expectation is not for Ty Forster to be a part of the Flyers roster this season, but given how well he produced in the American Hockey League last year, maybe just kind of give some small percentage of a possibility that that Forster could get into that discussion. And so, what do we think of the Philadelphia Flyers? I mean, it's hard to assume the Flyers will be a playoff team given the question marks in goal, but their roster is competitive enough that if the goaltending is capable, you know, you get a bounce back season from Carter Hart, that the Flyers could find their way back to the postseason. And I think, you know, they don't have an easy division, and so it's not as though they can just say, well, as long as we you know, get adequate goaltending, that will definitely be back in the playoffs. It won't be that easy, but if the goaltending bounces back and the new defensemen kind of reshape things on the blue line, you know, there is certainly a path to the Flyers finding their way to the playoffs. If you have to kind of decide whether they're a playoff team or playoff contenders, at this point, I probably have them considered as playoff contenders. And so there you go, Philadelphia Flyers. They're going to be an interesting team to watch at the very least this year. And you know, I think it would be neat to see if Hart gets back on track, because, you know, expectations were really high for him going into last year. And then it just it did not go so well. So let's hope that for his sake that he can turn things around and, you know, resume what was a very promising career. So that will do it for today. We will continue on with our countdown. I guess the Ottawa Senators are next in line. Also listen to the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as we head down the stretch run of the Major League Baseball season. But listen to both podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.